And it's Wednesday, July the 24th in the year of our Lord 2013, as we are talking about law and gospel here on Worldwide KFUO. I'm Tom Baker, your host. And because this is a Thursday, it's a Rumination Thursday where we kind of think over, meditate upon two pastors, and you can listen in. And with us is our good friend, Reverend Dr. Pastor Mark Smith.
Hey, Tom, how you doing today? Good to be here on Thursday. Weather's great. Couldn't be better.
And the convention is over.
Convention is over. I know. Yes. I enjoyed it.
We're talking about the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Convention held in downtown St. Louis. Started last kind of Saturday with a worship service and lasted to Thursday around noon. And a number of people were elected and a number of various overtures or resolutions were adopted. And it looks like we're really primed. The most exciting thing I saw was the joining in fellowship with three sister churches overseas.
Yes, one in Siberia. Imagine that.
Well, I actually taught there.
At Novosibirsk.
Yeah, Novosibirsk.
Novosibirsk.
And it's Russian for New Siberia.
Who would have thought, you know, 20 years ago that we would have a sister church body?
Oh, I know who did.
In Siberia.
I know who did.
Who, you?
No, God.
Well, of course.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So he's got surprise after surprise. And
we've got, we've got a Lutheran school in Ho Chi Minh City, Hanoi.
Oh, we're all over the world. We're all over the world.
Unbelievable.
And what's happening is because of society becoming more materialistic, in other words, God is no longer a problem. Churches like the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod that really believes the Bible is the Word of God really has an opportunity to share that message with a lot of people. So it's something that we really need to kind of keep in mind, and we're praying, of course, that we're going to have even more outreach. And next convention, maybe even more sister churches are going to be joining. And why is that important? Well, on this a Thursday, July the 25th, in the year of our Lord, 2013. We want to say it's really important, particularly to take a look at the Lutheran Church, because we do one better than, let's say, the Roman Catholics. Yes, there is a way that the Pope is offering to tweet your way out of purgatory, but what does the rest of the title say, Mark?
But it takes effort.
It takes effort. Now, we're not going to disagree with that. Except, whose effort does it take?
It's Christ's effort.
Excellent.
He said, it is finished. And he went through a great deal of effort.
You know,
unimaginable effort
to accomplish our salvation. I just feel so sorry for Romans who believe what the Pope has to say here. And we really need to take a look at some of this. He is offering a way out of purgatory. What is purgatory? A purgatory is a place that the Roman Catholic Church invented, because you can't find it in the Bible anywhere.
Don't they claim to find it in the Apocrypha? Don't they claim to have...
As I said, they can't find it in the Bible anywhere,
right,
because the Apocrypha is not part of the Bible. But I tell you the truth. Oh, what was the name of that? The Knights of Columbus. When I was a kid, I ordered all 36 of their little tracts on Roman Catholic theology. And one of them was on purgatory. And they did quote what you're saying, the Apocrypha, and they also quoted a couple of parables. You know, you won't get out till you pay the last penny,
right.
Things like that. Well, about 10 years ago, I got their new tracts, and their new tracts say there is no basis for purgatory in the Bible, but it is a teaching of the magisterium. And therefore, from a Roman Catholic point of view, once the Pope says it, it's like the Bible saying it. There's no distinction. But I was very happy to see that they agreed that the Bible verses they were using were taken out of context and really don't prove a purgatory. Now, a lot of people think that you go to purgatory to pay for your sins in Roman Catholic theology. That is not correct. What happens here, they're looking at when you do a bad deed, there's not only the necessity of getting the forgiveness of sins, but there's also natural consequences that occur. And so purgatory is really a place where you pay off the natural consequences of your sin. So forgiveness still can occur here, but you still owe, you know, for the deeds, misdeeds you did here on earth. And so that's what purgatory does.
Purgatory takes care of the natural consequences of our misdeeds and our sins.
Yes. Anyone who goes to purgatory is going to heaven in their understanding. Only a Christian can go to purgatory. Unbelievers never go to purgatory. They go straight to hell.
And be clear again, Tom, that this is not what we believe, but this is what Rome teaches.
Right. Yeah, this is not part of the Bible, and therefore it can't be part of Lutheran theology.
We believe that all of our sins are washed away already in our baptism.
Yes.
Our baptism has washed away all, even the last sin that we commit on the last day
of
our life.
Well, we're getting ahead of ourselves here.
All right.
What I want to do is back up, and they say it takes effort. But one of the things they talk about is the Bible comes from, the idea comes from the Bible. So do you want to read that section and why they think the idea of purgatory and indulgences comes from the Bible?
Yeah, the idea comes from the Bible, and they quote the part, Jesus told his disciples in the Gospel of Matthew that where two or more of them are gathered in his name, he would be present in their midst. In other words, being in Jesus' presence is a way to be forgiven.
Okay. Obviously, that is not true.
No, I can think of
many times.
Right.
People were in Jesus' presence,
right.
Like the Pharisees.
Yeah.
Were they forgiven?
Yeah. No, they were whitened sepulchers.
Yes.
And then there, in fact, he talks about the Pharisee and the publican. He said, the tax collector, the publican, he went home justified, not the Pharisee.
This doesn't say anything about purgatory.
Yeah, right. No, it doesn't.
In fact, he's getting mixed up between the forgiveness of sins and getting rid of the consequences of sins. He's getting the two mixed up. In other words, he said in medieval times, the spiritual action often involved making a donation, which led to corruption. For example, a coin into the coffer rings.
Soul from Purgatory Springs.
Yes, and that's what Luther was really opposed to.
Yeah, that's a jingle that was being used in the sale of indulgences
by Tetzel,
right? Before the Reformation,
in the building of the St. Peter's Basilica.
Yes, that's right.
Yes,
the money was going toward that.
Now they're saying that you don't do it by paying money, but by using social media like Twitter, etc. Now, here's how they compare it. It's a bit like keeping count of the time spent on a treadmill or other exercise equipment as part of maintaining physical health. So instead of just sitting and passively watching the telecast from World Youth Day, which, by the way, is happening right now. I saw that on television today. The Pope is over there in South America.
Brazil.
Catholics will actually be taking part. And the part that really gets me... Read the section that starts, but the Pope's new decree.
But the Pope's new decree doesn't make it easy to get an indulgence, said Scott Landry, cabinet secretary for the Catholic media in the Archdiocese of Boston. He worries that some people may misunderstand how the church views indulgences. Receiving an indulgence by the church is a high bar, he said. What you need to be able to do is to go to confession, receive communion. A lot of the headlines are making it seem like this is an easy step.
Okay, that's far enough right now. But isn't that interesting that how can you talk about salvation by grace when you have a high bar?
Mm-hmm.
That'd be like saying to your children, you know, I really want to love you, but you've got a high bar to meet.
Right, before you... can obtain that love.
The God of this purgatory is far worse than any parent I've ever met. I would not want to have this God because he's a God who is really mean, telling me, his child, that I have to reach a high bar before he's willing to give me a gift. This is not a God of grace. This is a God of justice. And the idea, you know, there's a whole set of things I have to do in order to meet this bar. See, that's what the Reformation was all about. It was not really about sin. Everybody pretty well agreed that was bad. It was really about the place of good works in your salvation. The Romans said good works are really necessary, especially for indulgences. You got to meet that high bar. The Lutherans said no good work is even possible to even get close to the high bar. Because who does all the good work for us?
Christ.
Yes. The headline says, tweet your way out of purgatory, Pope offers, but it takes effort. Now, I want you to read the last sentence.
Just because...
No, the very last. Right at the end.
There is a responsibility on the person that he has to fulfill. Let me read it again. There is a responsibility on the person that he has to fulfill. See, that's like a slap in the face to the fact that Jesus says it is finished. It has been a mission has been accomplished. The whole world has been redeemed. Every last sin has been paid for.
Yes.
And yet there's a responsibility on the person that he has to fulfill. No, you're saying, Christ, you haven't done it all. You haven't done enough.
In theological terms, is that a statement of law or gospel?
Oh, that's law.
Absolutely.
Solid law.
And see, that's what the Reformation was also all about, is that there is no salvation through the law, through obedience to the law. It's not that you don't have to obey the law out of love for Christ.
Right.
You know, God desires us to obey the law. It just has nothing to do with your salvation.
Our salvation's already been established.
By Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
And we receive all the benefits of that, not through obedience, but through...
through faith.
Yes. And that's trusting in his promises. So that's why I was so excited about the convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Because we have denominations throughout the world who are now gravitating towards the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Pastor Matthew Harrison, the president of our church, who was reelected even before the convention, he put it this way, and it's a good way of remembering it. He says, as a leader, he's not going to be a bull in the china shop, but he is going to be faithful. And in a sense, isn't that the demeanor of Jesus? You know, he didn't force anybody, you know, to believe in him.
That's right.
And he suffered and was persecuted, but he continued to be faithful until the Father said,
This is my beloved son. Listen to him.
In whom I'm well pleased. Yes,
Right. Listen
to him. That's a good point to add there. Because that's where nothing is said about purgatory. Nothing is said about it takes effort on your part. Nothing is said about now it's a responsibility the person has to fulfill. Okay, can you imagine our wives? If every time we came home, we say, well... I'll continue to love you as long as you fulfill your responsibilities.
Yeah, the door would be locked the next time you try to enter.
Well, maybe your door. But anyway.
The house would be empty in your house.
Yeah,
everybody move out.
Yeah, in the morning there'd be a bunch of White Castles in the refrigerator.
That's about it.
You see, this is why in Ephesians, God compares husband and wife to Christ and the church. What does he say there about marriage?
Well, he says a lot about marriage.
Yeah.
He says a husband ought to love his wife like Christ loved the church. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes. So what does that mean?
Well, I'd be willing to die for her.
Yeah, that's
what
the
did.
Point. Yeah, he's willing to die for
her.
Yeah,
your love, really greater love is expected of the husband than of the wife.
Yes. Our numbers here in St. Louis are 314-821-0850 and long distance.
Long distance is 800-730-2727.
That's correct. A little hard for you to see that sign
bit,
from where
yes.
you're at.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I'm sorry about that. I should have noticed that. So we're going to go to the phone line right now, and we're going to be talking to Brian. Brian, are you on?
Yeah.
How can we help
ask,
you?
Make a comment and ask a question. The comment is, if you're saying the Apostles' Creed in your church, you're acknowledging that you have one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. So you're kind of, there it is, you know, what you're talking about. And my question was, what do you think of the two most remarkable things to come out of the convention this week? That's all. Thanks.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much for calling. And that was Brian. Anybody else can call at 821-0850 or
1-800-730-2727.
Yes. Okay. What were the two most remarkable things to come out of the convention? It would seem to me there were two goals. The one is to reach out even further into the world so that the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod can be seen as a set of congregations willing to help through law and gospel, through justification by grace, through faith on account of Christ. The other thing is, if you look at past conventions, there was a lot to deal with in doctrine. Like including more doctrine, this there was very little here.
There wasn't any squabbling.
No, there wasn't squabbling. I think that was really quite amazing over doctrine. You know, we pretty well have come to an agreement in regard to creation versus evolution, against women ordination, against gay marriage, this kind of thing, and. I don't recall any opposition to those things that the world is going to be talking about. I think the other thing is the administration of Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is preparing itself more and more to speak out to the country, to the world. This is really important. The day before, I had Wes Reimnitz with me, Mark, and we were talking about the two kingdoms, how the church ought not be making rules or laws for the country any more than the government should be making doctrine for the church. But there is a time when they cooperate with each other. And in regard to the church has to warn the government to stay within the will of God in regard to natural law.
Right.
You know, when the Nazis at Nuremberg were found to be guilty, they were not found to be guilty by breaking German law. They had obeyed the German law, but by breaking natural law, the laws against humanity. Yes. And I think the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, as well as the Southern Baptists and even the Roman Catholics, have a lot to say to this country about natural law. We don't need the Bible to prove that there's a real baby in the womb. We don't need the Bible to prove that evolution is a figment of somebody's imagination and a philosophy that starts off with the idea there is no God.
We don't need a Bible to establish that that same-sex marriage is suicidal for our country.
Very good.
Or
excellent.
For society in general.
And so I think that we're at the precipice of an opportunity for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod to stop being what Billy Graham referred to us as. Remember?
A sleeping giant.
Yeah, he said we're a sleeping giant. And
he said that back in the 70s.
What I understand by that is people don't know us. I go all over the country and I talk to law and gospel, and sometimes I'm even talking to Lutheran congregations, and it's like what I'm saying is a new thing. We never heard this before. Well, yes, you have. Many of the good sermons you heard use law and gospel. You were just unaware that that was being used. It's kind of like going to a doctor. Well, did you get a flu shot?
No, I did not.
Okay, I
did.
I
probably should have.
I did. Guess what? I have no idea what was in that. So if I was on an island and people were coming down with flu, I would have no idea how to make flu vaccine for these people. Because I don't care. All I care about is I trust the doctor. But when it comes to theology, I think lay people need to start understanding how we mix law and gospel into a meal, so to speak, so that you can digest the word of God properly, so they can teach it to their children. And I think if there's any criticism I have on pastors who properly preach from a law gospel point of view, is they don't let their people know about it. A person will walk out and say, boy, that was really a comforting sermon, but have no idea why it was comforting or how the pastor had put the sermon together. And so when they sit down with their kids, they end up almost having a kind of a purgatorial conversation with their children. Say, like the mother might say, you know, daddy's not going to love you if you keep behaving like that, which is absolutely contrary to reality, because dad's going to love them. He's going to be disappointed. But that doesn't mean the love's going away.
There are people that will say that about God. Oh, if you do this, God won't love you.
Oh, I hear this again and again.
That's wrong.
Yeah. Our synod denomination, the Bookhouse, Concordia Publishing House, put out how Sunday school teachers often mess up law and gospel. And one of the examples they gave was a Sunday school teacher saying to a little boy, "Now, Tommy, if you do that, God won't love you."
Right.
You know, and the answer to that is there's nothing you can do to get God to love you more. And there's nothing you can do to get God to love you less. Because his love is divine love. It's unlike human love that goes up and down.
It's unchanging.
Yeah, because our love is often based on self-interest. If our self is getting interested in something, yeah, we'll really, you know, love. And that's the way we do. When I first went out with Louise, I'd ask her what restaurant she wanted to go to, what movie she wanted to go. We did that. Then we got married and started going where I wanted. Okay. But that's a good question or good statements by Brian there about the two things at the convention. And I think mission outreach. Now, there were some other very good resolutions about really supporting the seminaries with financial aid and this sort of thing, so that if there is a need for additional pastors, we're going to be having them trained. But I believe, and Law and Gospel, this program for 16 years has done this. I just phoned both seminaries recently about two individuals who phoned me wanting to become pastors in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Neither one of them Lutheran. The one young man has now joined a Lutheran church because he needs to have 1 year in residence in a Missouri Synod. And the other, an older adult who is a Southern Baptist graduate, who has an independent congregation right now, 400 people, and he just got a doctorate from a Presbyterian seminary. And he heard about Law and Gospel.
And he wants to be a Lutheran pastor.
And he now wants to go through what's called our colloquy program. So whether or not he will meet the requirements, I don't know. A colloquy program is you are interviewed, and depending on how well along you are in Lutheranism, you would have maybe one course, two, maybe three or four courses you have to take. But once you get to that, then you can get a call into the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. There was another interesting resolution, and I didn't know that much about it, but you know what CRM?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, right. These are candidates, religious, without a call.
Exactly.
And people are saying that, okay, this would be somebody, let's say he decides to leave the parish to go and study at the seminary some more. Then he's done his study and he becomes that candidate. And they were making the point that a lot of pastors are in that situation and nobody's calling
them.
That's
right. Yes, that's the problem.
Is that really true? I didn't know.
I have heard this, that a lot of these guys get CRM status, and it's people take that as, I guess, a mark against them.
Yeah, well, sometimes the CRM comes about because they had a problem in the congregation, or sometimes it comes about because they had to have a leave of absence because perhaps they went to the seminary to study more or get a degree or some kind of thing. So I was kind of surprised that those people aren't looked to more to fulfill some of the vacancies that are going around here. But it would be like, to put it in the listener's mode, let's say you have a really good doctor, and then he ends up going on a trip overseas, say to Africa, to work with AIDS patients for 2 years. When he comes back, his practice, of course, is gone, and nobody hires him. No hospital wants him or anything. See, that's really quite ridiculous. I don't think that would happen in the medical field. But it appears that it's happening in our field when these gentlemen go on that candidate situation. And sometimes it's because of a personality conflict they had in the congregation, but other times it could be just because they went and
studied.
They went to
do some graduate study.
Or take some time off or whatever. Yeah, who knows, whatever. So I thought that was an interesting, I don't know what came of it. I haven't heard the results of that resolution because I think it was sent back to committee. But the work of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is not really what goes on at a convention. That sets up the work. I always said I always wanted to be at every voters' assembly and board meeting in our church because that decides where the money is going for what ministry and so forth. So it's really important. If you say, okay, we're going to bring in $10,000 and give it to people who are hungry, rather than set up teams to go out and do evangelism, that's a different kind of congregation. And so the convention was very good in setting the parameters. And at this point, I have to say I'm very pleased with the direction the Synod, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, is going. And so we encourage you to continue to listen to KFUO, and we might even have Mark Smith on again.
That'd be great.
That would be great. In fact,
Tuesdays, though, right?
Yes. Looks like you're going to be going back to Tuesday next week, if that's all right.
That'd be fine.
Yeah, yeah. And then we'll have Wes on the phone. But I've got some bad news for you right now.
What's that?
Well,
we're out of time.
Yep.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, Wes was here Tuesday. He could not believe how fast it went.
It goes fast.
It goes fast. I'm Tom Baker, and you've been listening to Mark Smith also at Prince of Peace Crestwood. What's your address?
Yes, 8646 New Sappington Road, just south of the Watson-New Sappington intersection.
Service Sundays at what
Sunday
time?
Sunday at 9 o'clock and Saturday at 5 p.m.
All righty. Tomorrow we're going to be looking at the hymn, Our Father Who from Heaven Above. Tom Baker, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on KFUO Radio. You can write Pastor Tom at KFUO Radio, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. Law and Gospel is archived for your listening convenience at KFUO.org.